Galzo, and I'm here with Dr. Dennis Wilson, and we're just going to have a conversation about some of the products from Restorative Formulations. They're products that I use personally in my practice that I really like for a number of reasons. One is the purity of the ingredients. They're all organic, and there's no fillers and binders and junk basically added to the products, and they work. They're really nice combinations of ingredients. So I wanted to give you guys some ideas on how to use some of these products in working with supporting people with a variety of different presentations. So thank you for being here, Dr. Wilson.
Thank you, Dr. Rita Marie. It's an honor. Thank you.
Yeah. So I thought we'd start with the thyroid, if that's okay with you, because we have a lot of people who are dealing with thyroid, and you did a really nice presentation for us on the thyroid and T3 and how all that presents and thyroid and control of metabolic rate. And I know that there are several products that can help support people when their metabolic rate is off and when they have certain presentations. So I just wanted to get an idea from you. Maybe you can start by just telling me a little bit about the different products. I know you have Thyroid PX and ThyroCare and ThyroCalm PX, and maybe some of the different situations that you would use and when you would use the variety of these to support people.
Oh, sure thing. While we're at it, I'd like to mention real quick something that I wasn't aware of, even though I was in this business of providing herbal supplements. We had our own company for almost a decade before I realized or learned really the difference between organic products and certified organic. Mm. And it's, I think there's a lot of, I know that there's a lot of naturopaths and a lot of MDs and a lot of herbalists, a lot of practitioners aren't really aware, and we weren't aware either until we actually got into the labeling and manufacturing and so on and so forth. But the difference is that you can grow your product, you can grow your plants organically, and you can call your product an organic product, even if you process the plants inorganically. In other words, with solvents like benzene, toluene, and about, you know, four dozen other solvents that are permitted in organic products. On the other hand, the products that we have at Restorative Formulations are certified organic. And the only way you can put certified organic on your label is if you limit the solvents that you use for processing and extracting your herbs to either water, carbon dioxide, or certified organic grain alcohol. Mm. Those are the only three solvents allowed in a certified organic product. And if you look around in the marketplace, you may not find, I'm not aware of another herbal company that is certified organic in their products. You'd have a hard time finding one if there is any other than Restorative Formulations. But the reason why that's important is that sometimes, believe it or not, in an organic product, you can have, let's say you're concentrating a certain herb, and let's say you have 3 micrograms of active constituent in that herb or something, or 3 milligrams, some small amount, then you might have 10 milligrams of toluene in there.
Ooh.
So you actually have more toluene. You have more solvent than you do active ingredient. And sometimes people have reactions to these solvents. And so somebody might say, I don't respond well to ashwagandha. I don't tolerate turmeric very well. Or I don't tolerate this or that. And they think they're reacting to the plant, when actually we've had people use our products when they said they didn't tolerate a certain herb, and our product contains the herb and they don't have a reaction, which suggests to me that they weren't really reacting to the herb. They were reacting to the solvent that was used to process the plant.
Wow. And so I want to ask you a question about that. Is it true, do they have to disclose what the solvents are that they're using, or is that not required?
No, it's not required. They don't have to put it on the label. The only thing is that, and the reason why most companies use that those solvents is because it's actually a less expensive way of processing herbs, and it's more efficient. For example, if you're doing an extract on a certain herb, you might get 85% or 90% extraction with the solvent, the chemical solvent, yeah. And you might only get 65%, you know, with the carbon dioxide or solvents that we use, the grain alcohol. And so what that means is you have to use more herb to get the same constituent, and so it's a little bit more expensive. But we do it that way because it's cleaner and it works better, and we're more than happy to, you know, spend a little bit more money to get a clean product.
Well, we appreciate that because you're right about so many people will say, I don't tolerate this or that, and never occurred that it could be the solvents. So, because we use, you know, what's considered reputable companies to get these things done. Now, would they need to disclose it if we call up and say, hey, what do you use to extract your herbs?
I think the key question that you would ask them is, are your products certified organic? Or, you know, do you have certified organic written on your labels or in your literature? And because if they don't meet that standard, it's not legal for them to call them certified organic. The only people that can say that legally in their product line is ones that use that solvent. And you could ask them what solvent they use, but unless you're, you know, almost everybody at the, like in our business, I mean, in our company, our CEO and president, founder, our herbal genius guy that handles all the, Dr. Mikhail Friedman, who handles all the manufacturing, you know, he knows, I don't even know, I know that our plants, I mean, I know it's either water, carbon dioxide, or certified grain alcohol, but he's the one that knows which is used in each product, which I don't know that. And so, like, if you just called up a company, and I'm part owner of the company, and I don't know that. But
okay. But
I know that he knows that, and I know it's one of three solvents. But if you know, called up a company and asked them that, practically no one's going to know that except the ones intimately involved in the processing.
Got it. And then, of course, if they were certified organic, they would certainly put it on the label, right? Because why go through the extra expense of that? So we can assume that if they don't say certified organic, that there's probably some sort of solvent in there other than those three.
I would assume that, yeah, because, you know, if it just says organic, that's a world different than certified organic. Yeah,
that makes total sense. And you mentioned about the herbs being extracted that way. I've had people say to me, I'm allergic to iodine. And before we go too far, because I know some of the thyroid products do have iodine in them, what do you say to that and what do you think is really going on there?
Well, the iodine is something that is important in everybody's body. And so it'd be hard. People say, I'm trying to remember the name of the allergy group I can't remember it off the top of my head, but it's like the American Association of Allergists and Immunologists or something like that. If you look up their position statement on iodine allergy or sensitivity, they say that if somebody has a reaction to, you would want to ask, why do you think that you're allergic? Oh, because when I eat seafood, I have a reaction. Well, the allergists say that you shouldn't consider an allergy to seafood to be an allergy to iodine. You should consider it to be an allergy to seafood. You should consider it an allergy to shrimp or whatever the seafood is that you're reacting to. By the same token, they say that if you have a reaction to iodine contrast, iodine-containing contrast for some radiological test, they say that you shouldn't consider that an allergy to iodine either. And so from what I've read and from what I've seen, people aren't really allergic to iodine per se.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I've had people say, well, whenever I take a certain, I have to get a multi-mineral that doesn't have iodine, and I'm going to revisit that question with some of those people. Because it is tough when you're working with somebody with issues with thyroid and they clearly have some sort of low levels that they can't take it. It's going to inhibit the ability of them to rebalance.
Okay, so some people will say that they have an allergy to iodine, maybe because they have a rash, and some people do get rashes, or they'll get a metallic taste in their mouth. Sometimes people have a little trouble tolerating iodine, but sometimes Dr. Brownstein, who's a famous author and expert on iodine, he likes to have those people take some extra salt, like 2 to 3 teaspoons of salt, for about 2 to 3 weeks, and then also to give them extra vitamin C. And he finds that after he flushes them with that approach, they can sometimes tolerate iodine better after that.
You just gave me a thought as you said that. I wonder if what they're having is really a bromine release or fluoride release, but mostly bromine. Absolutely. Because it's been displaced off the thyroid receptors, and that's what they're getting is a okay. That makes much more sense than an allergy. Great. Super. So thank you for taking that little detour, because I think that's important for us to know about. So tell us a little bit about, I know you've got thyroid PX and ThyroCare and ThyroCare PX. So can you tell us a little bit about the differences between them and how we might use them to support people?
Sure thing. So ThyroCare and thyroid PX, the way this the body has its natural mechanisms to make thyroid hormone, including the pituitary gland, the thyroid gland, and the deiodinase enzymes. And sometimes there's different philosophies on how to support people or help people that have thyroid issues. I mean, the end result is you want people to have more thyroid hormone or more thyroid stimulation of the cells in the nucleus. You want their temperature to be good. You want them to be feeling good. And sometimes one philosophy is to just give the thyroid hormone directly, basically bypassing all the mechanisms that exist in the body for creating and regulating thyroid mm-hmm. hormone. So that's one approach. And doctors do that all the time with thyroid medicine. Another approach is to support the body's mechanisms that already exist. And some great ways of doing that are to provide the body with iodine, which maybe some of your listeners aren't aware that the reason why they call levothyroxine T4 is that it has 4 iodine atoms on it. And the reason why they lyothyronine is called T3 is that it has 3 iodine atoms on it. So clearly iodine is, you know, very important in thyroid function.
Right.
And zinc is important in the regulation of the conversion of T4 to T3, as well as the release of thyroid stimulating hormone. And selenium is important. So there's selenium is part of the glutathione peroxidase enzyme. It's also part of the converting enzyme. But I'm not sure if we covered all that detail before. Maybe we did in the other lecture. So, but I'll just narrow this down to the point that you have herbs that can do a really good job of supporting the conversion of T4 to T3. I like to think of herbs as potent groceries, and everybody knows that groceries are important. And what, you know, we are what we eat, and if you eat terrible food, then you can expect terrible health. And if you eat fantastic food, then you can expect better health. And so that's all that these plants are. They're just specialized or potent groceries and of really high quality.
Like
and
that.
So if you give the body, you know, very good groceries, and you give it the right plants and nutrients, you can provide a lot of support to the thyroid function and the function of the body in general. So generally we use ThyroCare. ThyroCare and Thyroid PX are almost exactly the same formula. The only difference is that the Thyroid PX has 60 times, that's 60, 60 times more iodine in it.
Mm-hmm.
One capsule of Thyroid PX has 6 milligrams. So two capsules has 12 milligrams. And sometimes we have patients taking up to four capsules twice a day. They'll get up to that kind of dosage within a period of 3 or 4 weeks. And we're trying to support a normal body temperature. So if the person is, if their temperature is still low after a week, we may increase the dose to two capsules twice a day. And if it's still low after a week, we might increase it to three capsules twice a day. And so four capsules twice a day is 48 milligrams of iodine. And some doctors, there is some controversy about that. Some doctors are concerned that it will increase autoimmunity. But that's also 800 micrograms of selenium. And I like to say that I don't recommend giving iodine without selenium or giving selenium without iodine, because if you give selenium without iodine, it can make thyroid function worse. And if you give iodine without selenium, there's a chance you can increase autoimmunity. But when you give iodine and selenium together, there's studies show that the autoimmunity tends to go down rather than, it tends to improve instead of worsen. So the other thing about the iodine, so when we would use the high-dose iodine is in most of the time, actually, because whereas some doctors are a little bit concerned with the autoimmunity, we actually have more patients' antibodies going down on thyroid PX than we do have going up. Their autoimmunity getting worse is much less, and they're much more likely, if they are going to have a side effect from that iodine, it's not going to be autoimmunity. It's more going to be 4 or 5% of people will notice increased heart rate, increased palpitations, possibly, maybe a little jitteriness, but most of the time it's really well tolerated. And the reason why we cheerfully use this product and so many people, you know, most of the time, it's really our go-to product for low temperatures, supporting people with low body temperatures, is because 70% of the time, people feel significantly better on that. And so there's a very small chance that they're going to feel bad on it, and there's a very good chance that they're going to feel good on it. And so one thing to bear in mind that's a little bit unexpected is that when you give somebody a high dose of iodine like that, say 12, 24 milligrams of iodine per day, their TSH can go up. And sometimes it can go up pretty dramatically. It can go up to, let's say it starts at 3.5, but before long it's up to, well, in a matter of, you know, 5 or 6 weeks, their TSH might be 12. It might be 16. It might be 18. It might be over 20. And you look at that and you think, oh, my goodness, this person's plunging into hypothyroidism.
Right.
But actually, their T3 is not going down. Their T4 is not going down. Their temperature is not going down. They're not feeling worse. They're feeling better. And it appears that the body is actually upregulating the TSH to take advantage of this high-value nutrient of iodine. And that phenomenon usually goes lasts for about 6 to 9 months. Even if they stay on the iodine, after 6 to 9 months or so, the TSH will normalize. We'll go back to within normal limits.
That must freak people out, though, right? I mean, if they're suddenly do they want to go off it then? Are you able to then chat with people about what's going on? And
yes, I mean, you know, if every doctor knew about that mechanism, we totally expect it. We have experience with it. You know, we know it's going to happen. We tell them beforehand it might happen, and so we just know that's just par for the course. That's how it works, and it's easy to understand why it works and how it happens. But it's usually not. I mean, it is a little bit tough if they come back. If the TSH was taken by another doctor who sees the number way out of whack and the person comes back in a panic. So it's usually a good idea to explain the possibility, you know, when they first start taking it and not wait till a weird blood test comes back. If they know up front and you explain it, then no, it's not usually a problem at all. They're fine staying on it because they're feeling so much better.
Because you're feeling better. Is there a certain percentage of people that happens in? Is it a large percentage? Is it just a small percentage? How would we know if it's going to happen? Or I guess we probably don't.
Yeah, it would be really hard to say if it's going to happen. I don't know the exact percentage that it happens in, but let me guess that it's probably going to go up a tiny bit in almost everybody. But when I say tiny bit, I mean still within normal limits. But in the people that it really goes up in, I'm going to say it's going to go above normal in 35-40% of people.
Okay,
something
so a good
like
percentage.
That.
Okay. Yeah. So. Okay, so the idea is to prepare, and it's always a matter of really educating and communicating with people so they know what to expect.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. So I wanted to go back to and just reiterate what I heard in terms of the way you generally use, that's the thyroid PX, and that is you'll start them with one cap, like once or twice a day, and then you'll gradually just increase that if their body temperatures are not going up. You would expect their body temperatures to go up within a few days, and if it doesn't, you'd go up another cap, and then you'd gradually increase it, meanwhile monitoring the body temperature closely, and up
right
to about four caps twice a day for after 2 weeks.
That's right. And there's the other caveat to that is normally we actually start on one capsule a day for several days, and that's to rule out the possibility of a toxic nodule, a hidden toxic nodule that would react in the presence of iodine autonomously producing excessive amounts of thyroid hormone. And you would know that a person might be experiencing that if they take that one capsule of iodine and they start getting palpitations and really high heart rate and very uncomfortable, and that would be a sign of a hidden toxic nodule. That almost never happens. I'm not sure if I've ever seen that, or I'm not sure if I've ever heard of any of our customers having that, but we always check for that. And the reason why is because if someone does have a hidden toxic nodule and the doctor says something like, well, just keep taking the thyroid PX and just keep taking the iodine and keep increasing it and your body will get used to it or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't be the right recommendation, because if they have a hidden toxic nodule and you keep feeding it iodine, it can get into a thyroid toxic, thyroid storm kind of situation, and that can actually be fatal.
Right, right. Okay. So that's really important to rule that out. So starting with one just every day for a few days, carefully monitoring, having them carefully monitoring their heart rate and first signs of agitation, palpitation, et cetera. Would you then send them for a scan to verify that there is a nodule?
Yeah, I mean, if they couldn't tolerate that, it would probably be a good idea to refer them to an endocrinologist for a workup of a toxic nodule. Yeah.
Okay. Great.
And then if when a person's on high doses, 3 to 4 capsules twice a day of thyroid PX, we would tend to do that no more than 2 or 3 months. And because we don't want them to, I mean, a lot of doctors feel totally comfortable with a person having 48 milligrams of iodine every day for life. But there's some reasons to think that might be a really good thing in terms of reducing in autoimmunity in the thyroid gland and enhancing breast health and so on and so forth. However, we tend to wean the patients down to a more maintenance or a lower maintenance dose of around 12 milligrams per day. And the way we would do that is decrease the thyroid PX down to 1 cap twice a day. And then if we want them to have more herbs, then we would supplement, we'd mix and match that with ThyroCare. So that they would still be getting the herbs, but they wouldn't be getting so much iodine.
Okay. So the ThyroCare does have iodine, but it sounds like a very small amount of it. It's a 60th of the 6.
Yes.
So, yes, it's what, about 100 micrograms or something.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay, good. Okay, so then you can mix and match them so that they still get the higher level of the supportive herbs. And are you, throughout this whole process of weaning them down, are you also monitoring their blood, their body temperature and maybe their heart rate as well?
Yes, that would be good to, it's always a good thing to do. Sometimes they wouldn't necessarily need to check it every day, but if it was me, I'd check it every day, but some people aren't that interested, so they wouldn't necessarily have to check it every day. They could check it once a week, or they could check it when they have switched from the one product, from the one regimen to another, to see if their temperature's holding, yeah.
Okay. And how long would you expect it to take? It sounds like pretty quickly you'd start to see the temps go up if they're on a therapeutic dose.
We change the doses. We would change the doses every week. So like if the temperature's not normal after a week, we could increase the dose.
Okay.
So that's the kind of time frame we would expect to see a difference.
Okay. So is there anything else we should know about? What are some of the herbs that are in those two? So everything's the same except the amount of iodine, correct?
Yes. There's let me just check this real quick. Nettle, so ashwagandha, Google, blue flag, bladderwrack. Yeah, it's the doses are slightly different. Like the makeup of the herbs are slightly different, but in essence, you know, it's a very similar product.
Okay.
Except for the iodine. Yeah.
So I just pulled it up, and it's iodine, zinc, selenium, and then blue flag, Google, myrrh, trifala, ashwagandha, nettle, bladderwrack. Ginger and diiodotyrosine, and that's in the, which am I looking at right now? That's in the thyroid PX. Okay, got
yeah.
it. Okay.
And so the nettles and ashwagandha, trifala, and ginger root, they're mainly it's I believe that's mainly antioxidant effects.
Yeah.
Let me just check this. But anyway, the main ones are the bladderwrack is used in commercial ventures for cleaning up toxic land, and so it traditionally it increases the lymphatic drainage is what they would use that for, and in my mind, it helps detoxify the thyroid gland. Blue flag iris is actually a plant that used to be used in the early 1900s in a drug called iridin as for the treatment of hypothyroidism. And so that's, there was actually a thyroid medicine made out of blue flag iris back in the day. But the Google myrrh is a very interesting plant. It comes, it's a resin from a tree, but the it's the same kind of myrrh like frankincense and myrrh, one of the famous myrrh. It's that, and it will it supports the conversion of T4 to T3, which is hugely important.
Okay, good. Okay, fantastic. Yeah, and it looks like it's just 200 micrograms in the ThyroCare per two. So yeah, 100 micrograms per capsule. Cool. And so what about the third product, which is actually listed as ThyroCalm PX?
ThyroCalm is actually to support people who are having trouble with excess or high metabolism or increased thyroid activity. Mm-hmm. And there's some herbs in there, like rosmarinic acid. There's rosmarinic acid and lithospermic acid. Those are two ingredients that are considered probably the most expensive, two of the most expensive in constituents on the market. For example, a kilo of vitamin C might be $30 or $40, and a kilo of rosmarinic acid is going to be more like $2,000 or $3,000 per kilo. But the nice thing about it is it has a tendency of, there's research that shows that it can inhibit the attachment of TSH to, or TSH to the thyroid hormone receptor, can inhibit the conversion of T4 to T3. And there's a couple of other mechanisms that it can slow down excess, or it can support people with excess thyroid function. And there's it also is helpful in supporting, it helps increase the apoptosis of aberrant T cells. So that when you have people that have overactive T cells, that's causing them to have some kind of immune difficulty in their system, this can help the body turn over the overstimulate or the overreactive lymphocytes and. That can also support the body in situations where they're struggling with excess thyroid function.
Okay. And then going back to the rosemary and the lemon balm also, should there be a concern with somebody who has hypothyroidism in just using rosemary as an herb or, on their food versus taking it as a supplement? They probably shouldn't. If they have they've been diagnosed with a condition like hypothyroidism or they have low metabolic function, would you say that that's true? Or, I mean, I know the food might not be as much because it's not as concentrated.
Right. Well, I would not be concerned about the, because the rosmarinic acid is really, it's really a nice, And for your listeners, there's a big difference between herbs and drugs. And drugs, of course, have one molecule in them, or maybe at the most a combination of one or two molecules that are patented and adulterated and very different than what's found in nature. But an herb, a plant, will have hundreds of constituents, and in many cases, you'll have the constituents have different actions on the same parameter. For example, you might have one constituent that tends to lower blood pressure, and you might have another one that tends to raise blood pressure in the same plant. So they have a the property is known as amphoterism, or a balancing effect. So in some cases, the herb might actually help support, let's say, a normal, you know, it might help somebody that has a tendency towards hypoglycemia to support them to have a normal blood sugar, while at the same time, it might help somebody that has a tendency towards hyperglycemia support them towards having a more, you know, a lower blood sugar. So with the thing with rosemary, you know, there's an anti-thyroid drug that the first anti-thyroid drug was discovered when they noticed hypothyroid symptoms in a herd of cattle that was feeding on broccoli. And they went into the field and they just ate boatloads of broccoli and they started having trouble. Well, so that's why some people are counseled not to eat broccoli if they have a thyroid problem. But personally, you know, if they want to have a cup of broccoli a day or half a cup of broccoli a day, I wouldn't consider that a problem. But if they wanted 2 gallons of broccoli a day, you know, that could be a problem. And the same thing with this rosmarinic acid, a little bit of definitely rosemary as a spice, I wouldn't be concerned about that. But even with this, I don't know that, even though it does decrease T4 to T3 conversion, that doesn't necessarily mean it's really going to suppress somebody's T4 to T3 conversion. It's kind of hard to explain that, but it doesn't work like a drug will do its action under it'll do the same action under all circumstances.
Got it.
An herb, not necessarily.
And it depends on what else is in the formulation with it and the particular person and a whole lot of other things. Okay, got it.
But,
so we wouldn't, shouldn't be concerned.
This. Yeah, you wouldn't be concerned about that. I wouldn't be. And
okay, so let's just chat a little bit about are there contraindications or side effects to the Thyrocom?
The Thyrocom is unusually well tolerated, and there is really no maximum dose. The product is highly concentrated, and we actually had to innovate some methods to get it as concentrated as it is. But I'd say the biggest side effect per se is expense. But other than that, if the expense wasn't an issue, the higher doses of it actually work better, and the chances of side effects are remote.
Okay. Great. That's really great to know. So I feel pretty clear, and I think you've given us all a really good idea of how the ThyroCare and the Thyroid PX and the ThyroCom work and what situations they can support someone through. Can you chat with us a little bit about what do you do and how do you deal with it if somebody has found on their blood tests that they have some elevations in their, say, their TPO or their antithyroglobulin antibodies, and they have low metabolic function, their temperatures are low?
Sure. So there's some things that definitely some of the biggest, most important things to think about in a person like that would be their lifestyle, trying to avoid stress and trying to get adequate rest and exercise, eating well, avoiding gluten as is important in some of those people. And just like and part of eating well can be taking a product that we have called ThyroCom. T-cell balance. And T-cell balance actually contains rosmarinic acid. And remember, I think you were just asking about how will rosmarinic acid cause decreased thyroid function in somebody that has a normal TSH or normal thyroid function. And this is a case where we're using, we actually use that same exact herb in T-cell balance in the setting that you're discussing. And it also contains Romania and cordyceps. And this supports the body in helping it calm down and try to support it in dealing with the challenge that it's facing with autoimmunity and dietary imbalances and other problems.
Awesome. Is there a particular way that we would go use that in terms of, like you talked about before, monitoring body temperature, et cetera?
Not in particular. The dosage is about 1 to 3 capsules twice a day, and usually patients can start on, people can start on 1 to 2 capsules twice a day, and after 3 or 4 weeks or so, if this is a product that can actually support people if they're having allergic symptoms as well. Mm. And then, so if they're having any symptoms that they're having some kind of flare-up and they feel like they're not really noticing too much of a difference in being on the road to recovery or feeling better, then they could go up to 3 capsules twice a day. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Super. Yeah, I know I've seen a lot of studies with Romania and antibodies, so that's good to know that product exists. Is there anything else on the thyroid front, you know, in supporting metabolic rate that you would want to add before I'd love to look at the adrenals and the blood sugar as well.
No, I think that's a good start on the thyroid products.
Great. And of course, you know, I want to say, because I want people to realize products are not the mainstay of any kind of protocol in supporting people. It's the lifestyle, it's the diet, it's the stress, because, you know, you can just keep adding product after product after product to a stressed out, deficient lifestyle or excessive lifestyle, and you're not going to get anywhere. So we're really talking about support for people along with the lifestyle. So I think that's so important to remember.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you've got a number of things that support adrenal function. And what we see a lot is people are burned out. Like people within our programs are burned out and want a lot of this help for themselves because we just keep pushing and pushing and pushing and the adrenals get burned out. And so I know you have a number of them, and I've actually personally used a couple of these with good results, actually not good results on one of them because I accidentally took the one for the adrenal PXLBP with the licorice in it and ended up retaining fluid, let's just say. So it was a mistake.
Yeah.
But I've used the Balance PX syrup and the Balance PX capsules, and I'd love to just kind of get a sense of when you would use the various products and what kind of situations you see them and how, you know, how you would typically dose them.
Okay, yeah, sure. Yeah, our top-selling product is Adrenal PX Balance, and it's helpful with people that either are wired and tired because they might have a little bit of a tendency towards excess cortisol, or they might be exhausted from adrenal exhaustion. So whether they're in the resistance phase or whether they're in the exhaustion phase can be helpful. So that, again, goes back to the amphoteric quality that I was telling you before. So that's why we actually call it Adrenal PX Balance. And so that's why it's very helpful. So you would use it in you could use it in almost everybody. That's our main go-to product. The time when we would use LBP, the Adrenal PX LBP it does contain licorice, and it's our strongest adrenal support product. If someone's really exhausted, adrenally exhausted to the point that they have a tendency towards low blood pressure and low blood sugar, not sweating and not feeling well, then you might go to LBP. There's a man, he was in his 80s, and he was passing out, falling down, hurting himself. And he went to the doctors, and they did a big-time cardiovascular workup, neurological workup, and they couldn't figure out why this fellow was falling down. And we just took a history on him. And they didn't really have anything to offer him, and it wasn't solving his problem. But just a little bit of, I think it was like one capsule twice a day of adrenal PX-LBP, and he felt a lot better and stopped falling down.
So
just supporting somebody's physiology and their adrenal function can make a big difference, make a huge difference in their lives. And so the time you wouldn't use the LBP is if a person has high blood pressure or a tendency towards high blood pressure, because the licorice has mineralocorticoid effects and it can retain water and cause high blood pressure, and so as well as decreasing the destruction of cortisol, it also has that mineralocorticoid effect. So that's one you wouldn't use that. But we also have a product that we call Adaptogen, and that's usually for more mild cases, and it's something that could be used as more of a maintenance product after if somebody wanted some adrenal support after getting something a little bit more concentrated, like Adrenal PX Balance or LBP, they could move over to the Adaptogen. The other thing that the Adaptogen can be useful for is if you want to improve immune function for one reason or another, if somebody was having a tendency towards frequent infections and you wanted to support them, support their immune function, then sometimes the Adaptogen can be helpful in that way because there's some herbs there that help with that. Adaptogen is a great product, and even though I say it's mild, I mean it works really well in moderate to severe cases as well. But we normally just go with the Eleutherococcus 50-1 extract, the Adrenal PX Balance and the Adrenal PX LBP. They have their concentrated Eleutherococcus in there, and that 50-1 extract, I'm not sure if your audience is aware, but a 50-1 extract means that 50 kilograms of raw material plant was used to and was concentrated down into 1 milligram of ingredients. So it's super.
Wait, 50 kilograms
to
1 milligram?
Okay. No, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I forgot what I said. Yes, 50 kilograms down to 1 kilogram.
Okay, good. Okay, I was going to say, well, that's more like a 5,000-to-1 extract.
Yes. Yes, that would
that's
be strong.
That's pretty strong. That would
yeah.
be very strong. And very
yeah.
expensive, I would probably imagine.
Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah, 50-to-1 extract means that 50 kilograms of raw material plant went into making 1 kilogram of ingredient for the product. And so that probably makes the Adrenal PX LBP and the Adrenal PX Balance the most potent adrenal support products on the market. We have doctors telling us all the time that these are the most effective products they've ever used for as far as adrenal support. And a lot of times they tell me they like to use these products because when the patients use these products, they can tell a difference. And adrenal products are notorious for the patients not being able to tell a difference.
Right.
So you give the patient adrenal, I can't tell the difference, can't notice anything. But with our products, they almost always do notice a difference. So.
And then what's the difference between the syrup versions and the other? I've noticed they're mostly the same, but there seems to be one ingredient or two that are a little bit different. And when would you use one versus the other?
The main reason you would use one over the other is convenience. And some people don't like capsules, and then some people don't like syrups. They don't like the inconvenience of syrups, and some people don't like swallowing capsules. The syrups are good tasting, and they could be titrated, or the dosage can be changed. If they want a smaller dose, then maybe what you're using, so that's good. But as far as the ingredients go, holy basil and rhodiola are in the capsules, and those two products, those two herbs are helpful, especially in supporting mood. The holy basil and rhodiola are very helpful because they have neurotransmitters. They stimulate the secretion of dopamine and serotonin, and those neurotransmitters help people that have down moods, where their moods are down or suppressed, and that's when you would use the capsules.
Got it. Okay, that's really a good differentiation. Very good differentiation. So in my case, I made the right choice to get the adrenal syrup. Tastes good,
right.
Too.
Yes.
I don't have any down moods, so fortunately, I just like to support. I probably would be best with the adaptogen, it really sounds like, except under, you know, severe circumstances where I'm getting ready for an event and have a lot to do. But
yeah,
I've noticed a difference with it, for sure.
Yeah, and it's really interesting that the syrup tends to be a little bit faster acting.
Yeah.
People can notice a difference sometimes within 45 minutes or an hour. Mm-hmm. And the capsules, maybe 3 to 5 days. But some people use the syrup as an alternative to coffee in the morning.
Yeah.
Because they like the energy it gives them. And also, I have a friend who likes to take it before he does something strenuous or enjoyable or stressful. He'll take some of it before he goes out dancing, for example.
Hmm. That's good to know. I tend to like syrups or liquids anyway because especially with folks who are sensitive, that we can titrate, like you said, very slowly.
Yes.
And you can't really titrate with the capsules. So oftentimes if people don't really want to do liquids, but they are sensitive, I'll have them start with liquids until we get them to a dose that they tolerate, and then maybe switch them to the capsules at that point.
Yes.
Good. Okay. So I'm looking back, but the only others are the two that have some DHEA in them. Would you like to address that a little bit?
Sure. Again, this is more of the philosophy where you're circumventing the body's mechanisms for making it, and you're giving the precursor directly, giving that DHEA directly. And there's definitely some physicians who enjoy that, and and it's definitely beneficial. I mean, you can use it concomitantly, just like you can use Thyrocare in patients that are taking T3. You can use the DHEA product with pregnenolone in a patient who's on adrenal support herbs as well, because it's just two different approaches of support there. And so we don't sell quite as much of that, but some of your practitioners may have experience with DHEA and really like it, and so it would be really good for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. Great. Anything more about the adrenals before we talk about blood sugar?
No, I think that's a good start there.
Great. So it sounds like we've got some good. And I've used your blood sugar balance support. We do a blood sugar balancing program, and we're very detailed about the different nutrients. And so we tend to, I tend to be like, okay, have this one and this one and this one. But so many people just don't want to do those individual the individual constituents, because it could end up being quite a number. So tell us a little bit about your GlucoBalance PX product.
Yes. The glucose balance, again, we call it balance because it has some amphoteric properties there. It helps support the liver in managing, we know that the blood sugar, we know that the liver is important in terms of managing blood sugar, and it supports the liver that way. And then there's vanadium and chromium, which are important in, they help, the vanadium helps increase the sensitivity of the receptors to insulin, and chromium helps the binding of insulin to the receptors. And so these can be very helpful in helping people manage their blood sugar as well. Devil's Club is a very interesting plant. You've heard of people on their Native Americans when they go on their ordeals and they're out in the wilderness fasting for a number of days and trying to get through their ordeal. Devil's Club is a bark that one of the barks that they would use to chew on to help regulate their blood sugar, to help them deal with the rigors of what they were going through, help keep their blood sugar in order. And so the lipoic acid studies have shown that that can be helpful. It's a cellular antioxidant, and it inhibits the glycation of proteins. And it's actually been shown to slow the progression of diabetic polyneuropathy. So that's the only, I believe that's the only substance they found so far that will do that. But so that's strong. And the Devil's Club supports cholesterol and lipid metabolism as well. So the it also contains prickly pear, which it has helps manage the blood sugar as well. So the thing about this, when I said amphoterism, we would use this in somebody that had wanted support in managing their blood sugar, and that could be somebody that has a tendency towards hypoglycemia, or somebody that has excessive blood sugar, where their blood sugar tends to go a little higher than you want it to be. So the if you look at Gymnema, Devil's Club, Milk Thistle, Prickly Pear, and you look at these ingredients and you add them up, you know, we're talking about 400 or 500 constituents there in those several in those several plants. So it's and they're not just random constituents. I mean, each plant has those constituents in there for a reason. I like to say that whether a person believes in God or whether they believe in evolution or whether they believe in both, we have to know that plants and animals go together just like a hand and a glove. And plants are humans are super, 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 super complicated. And plants are super, 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 super complicated. But they fit together just like a key and a lock. They fit together perfectly. And so much so that we can't go into space, we can't colonize space unless we bring our plants with us. And not just a few of them either. You know, we need a good cross-section of our plant life in order to be able to maintain a healthy civilization. So when you look at it that way, you know, it's easy to see how if you can, these plants have been used traditionally for centuries to support people to promote normal or healthy blood sugar levels. And again, when you wouldn't expect somebody that has diabetes, you wouldn't expect them to do very well if they drank nothing but soft drinks and ate nothing but donuts. You wouldn't expect them to be very healthy. And so it does matter what people eat, and you know, their body function does matter, and everybody knows that diet and nutrition is critical for good health. And again, these are just really good groceries.
Yeah, I like the concept of groceries, and I like the concept of, you know, I'd like to believe that we could just do it all through food. And I think that because people have been depleted for so long, the length of time it would take to get their balance back could exceed the length, the number of years they have left on the planet, just because it's not as concentrated. So I look at supplements and things like this as, I love the concept of the groceries. You know, they're just potent groceries, and they're concentrated, and they're not intended to replace the need for food, for good food. Yeah. And they, you know, hopefully they get tapered off as, you know, the balance is restored in the food and the diet and the stress. But frankly, because of the state of our planet right now, we're never going to remove all of the stress. And I don't know that the quality of the food is up to what we really need or want it to be, just because of the practices and the toxins in the environment, et cetera. So to have access to plants like this and to understand how these plants can interact and restore, help the body to restore balance is really critical. Yeah. So I like having these kinds of, I love your concept of the potent groceries. It makes a whole lot of sense. It really does. So, we do a blood sugar balancing program, and in our protocols, we start people right away on things like magnesium and chromium and some of the omega-3 fats, and in order to help them to overcome some of the cravings, so to speak, that happen when they're out of balance, when they don't have those nutrients in the system and their body can't uptake. And the fact that some of these things in here will actually help to restore the sensitivity of the cells to the insulin and allow the sugars to pass through makes a huge difference. But the question that comes out from that is, you know, they are amphoteric, and are they going to help when, you know, whether somebody's in a state where their receptors are damaged and because of high insulin levels, right? You know, insulin, they become insulin resistant, versus a situation where maybe they've been insulin resistant, but then their pancreas wore out and they can't make insulin anymore in sufficient quantities. Do you see this as a different situation, or do you see that something like this could be amphoteric in that situation?
Well, there are some studies that show that like Gymnema has some antioxidant hypoglycemic and possibly beta cell regenerative effects, and so the but I think that the most likely chance that somebody, of course, you know, some people, their physiology is so far damaged that they'll never recover.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're really talking about, is actually supporting. We're actually not talking about treating anybody or curing anybody, but yes, the body itself is designed to regulate itself it's supposed to have a normal blood sugar on its own.
Right.
And it's supposed to heal on its own, and it's supposed to function correctly. And again, I knew this one fellow, unfortunately, he got the flu. He was a young man in his early 30s, got the flu and decided that he needed to maintain his fluids, and he didn't know The only thing he really liked to drink was Mountain Dew, and so he drank like 4 2-liter bottles of Mountain Dew in one day. And unfortunately, he went into a diabetic coma and passed away. And he doesn't have a history. He didn't have a history of diabetes. And so, you know, they said, so you could look at that and you could say, well, this person developed diabetes overnight. Mm. Or you could say he died of glucose poisoning. Because, you know, everybody, our bodies have their limits, and you're supposed to, you know, you're supposed to be able to handle a big bolus of sugar, but if you can't handle a big bolus of sugar, then you're not going to fare very well. And so,
right.
So anyway, trying to remember where I was headed with that. What was the question again?
It had to do with the insulin resistance versus the pancreas then wearing out. And what you just said about this guy, it sounds like, you know, had he developed insulin resistance, maybe he would have been able to survive that. But because he threw so much in so over in such a concentrated amount of time that the cells were not resistant, and that level of glucose was just too much for the cells to take. I mean,
right.
I'm just guessing, but that's where I would go with that. Wow.
Right. And I think what I was where I was headed with that too is to say that the best that we can hope for is to support the body in recovering on its
right.
own.
Right.
And so the best thing we could do, whether the person has insulin resistance or no matter what kind of insulin derangement they have, the best thing we could do for them is to help them get very clean and very well nourished and plenty of rest and avoiding stress and do everything we can to support their body into recovering itself into a normal physiological pattern.
Absolutely. And that makes the most sense. And as you were saying that, you know, talking about antioxidants, if gymnema or some other of these herbs have specific antioxidants that could help regenerate beta cells, they could probably help regenerate the receptors and make them more sensitive. So it's almost like it can be considered a similar problem, that really it's a matter of stop damaging the cells, stop creating the oxidative damage, and then support the repair process.
Exactly.
So they're probably very similar. It's just where is the prime focus of it.
Yes.
Wow. Awesome. Awesome. So we've covered thyroid, we've covered adrenal, we've covered blood sugar, and we've been talking for quite some time now. Are there any other, and we talked about the immune product, the T cell product. Are there any others right now that, you know, in a short period of time we have left to speak that we could chat about that you think would be really, really most beneficial for us?
I think your practitioners would be interested in HTN 180, and that's a very popular product of ours, and that is a product that practitioners are really enjoying to help support people in their cardiovascular systems. It also helps with anxiety and insomnia. It tends to decrease the sympathetic tone. It tends to relax the body from a cardiovascular standpoint. The hawthorn is really helpful, and the African snake root does a nice job of decreasing the sympathetic tone. So usually it can have an effect within hours, and it can peak over a period of 4 weeks or so. So let me just look in here in the catalog to see what we're allowed to say about that. Let's see. So I would just say it is designed to optimize cardiovascular function by supporting blood vessel relaxation and coronary blood flow, It provides powerful alkaloids that have been investigated for their ability to invoke parasympathetic activity in the brain. And so there is a caution here that it may potentiate the effects of blood pressure lowering medication. Therefore,
okay.
Blood pressure should be regularly assessed while taking this product, especially for those taking antihypertensive drugs. So it's for cardiovascular support. It preserves healthy blood pressures, and it promotes healthy parasympathetic activity and optimal vascular tone and blood vessel relaxation. So
cool.
It's a really popular product that works really well for a lot of people.
That's awesome. That's awesome. It sounds like it would be a good combination with the adrenal products that we just discussed a little bit ago, because typically, at least in the alarm type stage of an adrenal issue, people are in they're in sympathetic overdrive.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. In fact, we tend to use the adrenal formulas anytime anybody's dealing with stress, of course, but any endocrine problem as well. This is in addition to what you were saying from this cardiovascular standpoint, but you know, if somebody is having trouble with their trying to maintain a normal blood sugar level, if they are having trouble with their thyroid, if they are having, trouble with any endocrine problem, it's always helpful to support the adrenal glands.
Makes total sense, especially given female and male hormone problems. We usually see practitioners just jumping in and looking at estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, but really the precursors are the same as the adrenal precursors. And if somebody's in sympathetic overdrive, they're shunting all their precursors over to make cortisol, you know, as opposed to those other hormones. So I agree with you there. And blood sugar balance is super important for that whole process as well, because if the blood sugar's up and down, that's creating an addrenal alarm, right? And then
So
it all just feeds into itself, and it's really a matter of balance, really, when it comes down to it. We want to restore balance in a person.
Exactly.
Super, super. Wow, this has been awesome. So how can our practitioners get more information about these products and really delve deep into what they're doing and start to have a working knowledge so they can get using them?
Sure. The website is restorativeformulations.com, R-E-S-T-O-R-A-T-I-V-E, formulations.com. And the phone number is 800-420-5801. So 800-420-5801. And we offer tech support. And so on a case-by-case basis, we can give you product training and some assistance on how to use these products in an individual case.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, and I've spoken to your tech support, and they're very, very capable. So I appreciate it. Well, I really appreciate your time and attention to us today and just really helping us to delve a little bit deeper into these products and the herbs that and the constituents that are in them and have some ideas on how to use them. And I just really appreciate the work that you're doing to educate practitioners about this whole other realm. And what I really appreciated at the beginning was that clarification on organic versus certified organic and the use of the solvents, because that's kind of scary if we're taking these nutrients, these herbs that are supposed to support our patients or clients into restoring balance, and then we're adding additional toxic load into their bodies. That's not a good thing.
Right. Exactly.
Right. Absolutely.
Well,
so.
Yeah, I definitely feel a kindred spirit with you and appreciate all you do to educate all of us as well. So it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.